grab your buds, settle in. Right on. Wonderful. Good to see you all. Got guys pouring in the door still. Morning.
Great, man.
All right, gentlemen, on behalf of all the men who are part of the leadership of Challenge Men's Ministry here at Calvary Albuquerque, my name is Neil Ortiz. I serve you as the pastor for Challenge, and we all want to give you a hearty good morning and welcome. So why don't you guys give each other a big applause for getting up, right on, for getting up, getting out of bed, and coming here to invest in your relationships with God and also in one another. Guys, I know we're in for a treat this morning, as many of you are here, because we have a special guest speaker, Victor Marks. And so thank you for showing up to be a part of what we're doing this morning. Just let me clear up a little confusion any of you might have. What I'm holding is neither a urine sample nor it is, nor is it a light beer of any form. It's just some green tea. I had to admit that I had a problem with caffeine and discipline my body a bit and challenge myself to say, you know what? You're kind of functioning like you need it a little bit too much. And so I'm on day 6 of no coffee. Tough, huh? Hey, it ain't easy, believe me. And I'm not saying that every one of you has to do the same thing, but I will say this, guys. When it comes to being the man of God that God's called us to be, guys, it's always going to require some discipline. And there's nothing like just even issuing a challenge to yourself to say, you know what, I could have something, but I'm going to just trust the Lord to not need it as much as I might be operating like I absolutely need it. And for me, coffee and I had to have a heart-to-heart, and I had to put it on the shelf for a bit. So when I'm back in the game, I'll let you guys know. Until then, this is just some green tea, all right? Well, hey, right on. Cheers. On that note, guys, again, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Let me open us up in prayer, and I'm going to hand it over to Steve Ryman, the voice of KNKT, and he's going to give us some announcements. Let's dive in. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for every man that's here, Lord. Thank you for the families they represent, the workplaces, the neighborhoods, the circles of influence, Lord, that these men come from. And so, Father, we're so grateful that you've allowed us here to gather. We thank you that we have so much to celebrate, God. And Father, we thank you that as we are here, whether it's a burrito in our belly or coffee or tea in our cup, Lord, I thank you, God, that truly this kind of fellowship, this type of gathering, it's so much more than what the world looks forward to in their happy hours. Lord, every waking hour for us, every sleeping hour for us as your sons is happy, blessed hour. So Lord, thank you that we fellowship as we do. Thank you that we gather for the purposes that we gather. And so God, as we begin this morning, as we're going to have a time of worshiping you, thanking you in song, and then also being challenged, inspired, and encouraged by your word, and also by our discussions with each other, we yield to you, God. We pray that you would uniquely meet us here. And that, Father, men who've arrived this morning with incredible burdens, whether it be concerns for their health, family's health, Lord, whether it be some financial trouble, whether it be, God, some anxiety about the workplace or about their business, Father, you know each of us better than we'll ever even know ourselves. And so, Lord, please, by your Spirit, and by what we do today, may we cast our cares before you because you care for us. May we lay those burdens at your feet, Lord. And God, may you accomplish that by working in us and through us as a group of men. And Father, also, we pray that with the message we're going to hear today, show us many things, one of which is, God, that not only can you, but you desire to redeem the hurts that we've experienced in life, God. Whether they be way back in the past or even in the present, your purpose is to make us all better men for your purposes, for having allowed us to experience the heartache, the trouble, the pain, the terror, from what we've experienced. With that, God, we yield to you, inviting you here, Lord, uniquely. Meet with us. We ask this in the name of our great strong tower, the ultimate man of all men, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, all who agreed said, amen. Amen. Stevie.
Thanks, Neil. Pray for Neil's caffeine withdrawals. It's been rough on him. It's been rougher on us. I kid. I wouldn't have even known had he not said something. But at any rate, welcome you guys. Every week or every month when we show up for this, I see a lot of familiar faces. I consider family. For those of you I have not met, welcome to this family. You look out over the crowd of faces, it's like an army of guys that are just ready to do some great things in this community. There's ways to get equipped to do that. I want to let you know about some of those opportunities. Dave Slade, right over here. Dave, raise your hand. On Thursday mornings is doing a Measure of a Man book study at 6:30 in the Plex, right over here on the campus. 6:30 Thursday mornings, they're in the midst of that study. You guys are welcome to join that, including starting like this Thursday. Show up, guys, if that's a good morning for you. The Dad in the Mirror book study is getting underway this Friday, and the room has not been determined, but it is starting this Friday. Bill's right up front. Bill, raise your hand. You'll look for Bill. They're going to meet right out here by the fountain, and if nothing else, bring a swimsuit. Maybe they'll meet there. He'll know where they're meeting by then, and they'll just press on to the room where they'll be. The next month's Thursday night meeting, you guys been to the Thursday nights? Thursday nights, you have an opportunity to come down from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. September 19th, right here in the hub. Look for details on all this, you guys, at challengemen.org on the web. And then the next Saturday meeting, like this one, with free burritos, coffee. How are the burritos and coffee? Good stuff?
Yeah.
All right. That was, really?
Yeah.
Saturday morning, September 7th, will be the next Saturday morning meeting. Now, the Renew groups got underway July 15th, and there's several groups that meet here on campus. I'm going to mention a few of them that may pertain, may lean towards what the men's ministry would need, the guys that attend here. But they started a new session July 15th. Don't let that deter you from jumping into it mid-session. Okay, some of these things that are going on, men's drug and alcohol class. You don't need to wait until January 13th when they start a new session. You can go this Monday, okay? Monday starts at 7 o'clock, all of these here on campus. 7 p.m. Monday is the men's drug and alcohol class, the men's sexual purity, every man's battle, and when good men get angry, all part of the Renew groups. Again, they started July 15th. That doesn't mean you need to wait until January to jump in. You can jump in any time, Monday night, 7 o'clock, at various places around the campus. Okay, Neil said we're in for a treat this morning, and we are in for a treat. We've got an incredible testimony to hear about, which, by the way, I want to aim you towards the back table. Mike, who's traveling with Victor, has got stuff set up for you guys to check out some of the resources. Make sure to stop there on your way out this morning. But we've got that treat on the way. We have a retreat coming up. We're going to a new place. If you guys look in the packs that were on your chairs, you find information about the retreat. And let me say this now so you don't end up in Glorieta. Manzano Mountain Retreat in the Cibola National Forest is where we're going to be. The information is here. It is also at challengemen.org. You can sign up there, get all the information you need. The retreat is September 27th through the 29th. 29th is an important date. Now, a retreat, now God willing, you'll come back well-rested. Sometimes from a retreat, you overdo it and you're a little tired, but eat your Wheaties, guys. I told the leadership this. The 29th is Harvest America. You got anyone familiar with Harvest America? Okay, Greg Laurie does a crusade in L.A., in Anaheim, and it's going to be broadcast at thousands of churches around the country. They saw scores of people make decisions for Christ last year during Harvest America. This campus was part of that. It's going to be bigger this year. We're going to have a few soft toys and stuff happening starting at 4 o'clock that afternoon. And then by 6 o'clock, folks are going to be in the sanctuary. Live band Firefly's going to be here. We're going to get the message from Greg. Think of someone you know who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They should be at Harvest America September 29th. It's a Sunday night right here in the main sanctuary. Super important. Now, not only on the calendar for being here, but, and I mentioned this to the leadership group, guys, please put this on your prayer list. Anyone remember the 98 crusade here with Franklin Graham and Billy Graham? Was anyone here for that? They bathed that in prayer for months. And we need to do the same. We need to be lifting up people that we know who need Jesus and pray about getting them there to that event. That's September 29th. And you'll hear about it on the radio, but I wanted to kind of throw that out for you guys. If you're new here, you've never taken advantage of the toolbox online. I already mentioned challengemen.org. You'll find the information about the Bible studies that happen throughout the week on this campus. And then Bible cafes that happen all around town. If you're part of, if you're a leader for the Bible study or the Bible cafe, would you just raise your hand so guys kind of get used to seeing your face? Okay? Ask one of these guys about these groups so you guys can get, be a part of it. And then every week you can download the Challenge Men game plan from challengemen.org. Okay, what's the website? Okay, you guys got it. All right. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to hear from Victor Marks, but to get us in the worship mode, please welcome formerly the Riley Factor, now Battle Scars. Nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. That was awesome. Thanks for reminding us that we're really old and stuff. Let's stand. Father, thank you for being able to come into your throne room with no shame, covered by the grace of your Son. Thank you for all these guys that are here today, Father. And I just pray that we would be able to find you in the purest way. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready?
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. Please be come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, all who gather here, by faith draw near, bless your name. Yeah, 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 yeah. See from his head, his essence. Bids me come and die, find that I may truly live. Oh, the world. the year, by faith draw near and bless your name. Would the whole realm of nature mine that were an offering far too small, love so amazing and so divine, demands my soul, my life, my own. Oh, the wonderful cross, yeah. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die, so that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, will he come and die, and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by faith draw near, and bless your name.
Yes, Lord is good.
The fullness of your grace is here with me. The richness of your beauty is all I see. The brightness of your glory has arrived. In your presence, God, I'm completely satisfied. Cause for you, I sing, I dance. Rejoice in this divine romance. Lift my heart and my hands to show my love. Show my love. A deep, deep love. An ocean flows from you. Of deep, deep love. Yes, filling up the room. Has washed my guilty life. In your presence, God, I'm completely satisfied. For you, I sing, I dance. Rejoice in this divine romance. With my heart and my hands to show my love. Oh, for you, I sing, I dance. Rejoice in this divine romance. Lift my heart and my ears to show my love. To show my love. my love. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, and all I have is yours, every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, and it's all about you. It's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, and it's all about you. It's all about you.
Lord, it's all about you. You know, before I sing this song, a friend of mine wrote this song. I am persuaded of your love for me. And you guys all know, I know you guys have been walking a long time, though, that every morning we have to make a choice to either follow him or not that day. And if we fail, it happens quite often. Well, in my case, maybe not for you. But, you know, this song is of making a decision to walk with Jesus all day long. Sometimes we make it half the day. Sometimes we make it a half an hour before our wife yells at us or something, and we screw up pretty bad. But just remember, it is a choice. And as you're falling asleep at night and you're searching for that part of you that God wants to talk to, listen, because he's got good things to say. He'll tell you he loves you. He'll tell you he cares about you. And he'll guide you through the day if you want to listen. So let's just sing this song together with that thought in mind. I am persuaded, nothing that I know
can keep me from your will. I am persuaded of your love for me.
Let's sing that again.
I am persuaded nothing that I know can keep me from your will. I am persuaded of your love for me.
Every night.
Every night I close my eyes, I long to hear your gentle voice. And in the morning when I rise, I wait for you. Make it yours. I am persuaded nothing that I know can keep me from your will. I am persuaded of your love for me.
Every night.
Every night I close my eyes, I long to hear your gentle voice. And in the morning when I rise, I wait for you. Make it yours.
Switch the voices.
I am persuaded nothing that I know can keep me from your will. I am persuaded of your love for me.
Of your love.
Of your love for me.
Thank you, Father, for a great time this morning. I'd love to hear the men's voices sing as loud as they possibly can. Father, help us now to ingest your word in a worshipful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey guys, one quick announcement I forgot to make. Back on the table where Mike's going to be back there at Victor's table afterwards, there's several clipboards set up back here. We need the few, the proud, the kiosk tenders to be a part of what's happening with the retreat. We need guys to sign up for various weeks, specific services that you could man the kiosk and answer questions that people have about the retreat coming up in September. So if you could check that out afterwards. And it's time to introduce our guest. If you're standing up, here's what the guys that are sitting down are going to do. If you're sitting down, kind of move away from the aisle, make room for guys that haven't sat down yet. It's kind of intimidating. A lot of guys don't want to go, excuse me. Just kind of make room on the aisles. And the guys, if you're standing in back, we're making room for you. Come sit down with us. We're gonna get situated for this morning's special guest, which, by the way, I'm sure you'll hear it this morning. But as you leave today, on your social networking sites, you can share the website Victor Marks, marx.com, and share a lot of what you're going to see this morning that others would be kind of connected with this ministry. A lot of folks in this room as youth were troubled. Our guest is one of those people and has been working with troubled youth. He's got a ministry that reaches out in that direction. He's a master of martial arts. Semper Fi, anyone? Guys? He's a former Marine, and of all the accomplishments or things on his resume, I'm sure you'd probably agree the most important in that he is a child of the King. And he's going to share with you guys this morning. If you'd please give a warm Challenge Men Albuquerque welcome to Victor Marx.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Appreciate that, bro. And these guys are awesome. I am. Great to take y'all back with me. Well, it's a joy for me to be here and a privilege, honestly, I say that. It's my first time to be at Calvary Chapel Albuquerque in any form or fashion. And of course, as a new Christian, I would listen to Pastor Skip on the radio. And so it's pretty neat that I'm here. Yeah, so... Am I talking too fast? Pastor Neil, we're new friends, but I was back there talking with him. He said, "Hey, you want some coffee?" I said, "I'm okay." And he listened to me talk a little bit more. He said, "I'm going to go get you one." Okay. I'm like, wow. I don't know if it's because he's struggling and wants me to drink for him or I talk so slow. But I'm from Louisiana. I'm one of them swamp Cajun people right there. There's my brother. So that's why I talk like this. I tried to adjust it many years ago and I gave up. I said, forget it. So it's on y'all to understand me. Last year I spoke 120 times traveling. It's an absolute sincere privilege to do what we do, but we were about dog tired last year. Our film came out. It's a documentary film on my life story. And to give you guys perspective and background, I never told my story till I was in my mid to late 30s. Because like most men, I was thinking, everybody got a story. I don't care. But, God really started dealing with me and saying, come on. And I was like, yeah. And he did a lot of healing in my heart about my troubled past. And that's when we started speaking. Actually, the first time I ever shared it, because I wasn't gonna speak at a church. I was like, I ain't going to tell church people about my background. Because some church people are weird. Like I'm saying something y'all don't know. I mean... Right? For one, not everybody in the church is saved, right? So they're goofy by regeneration. And then there's other people who are saved, but they really haven't allowed God to develop that character in them. So they bring their baggage of goofiness. And it's like, oh my gosh. So where did I feel comfortable? I shared my story, my full testimony, first time at a juvenile facility, a maximum security juvenile facility in the state of Colorado. And I was nervous because, you go into a place and it's a max. I mean, it's not just a little detention center. It's a maximum security for felons. And someone invited me and said, Victor, you ought to come and tell your story, man, to these kids. They'd be real encouraged. I thought, well, tell me about them. They said, well, there's rapists, murderers, drug dealers. And I said, you go tell them. And I got teenagers. I don't need to go visit with more. So I end up going, and the guy told me, he said, look, do your little martial art thingy. He said, that'll open the door for them kids and, you know, and may make you feel more comfortable. I said, okay, I can do that. So I walked in there, and there's total 75 kids, and they're sitting on a hard concrete gym floor. They're in their prison garb. They're looking at me like this. Well, you're going to talk about white Wonder Bread, you know. You better bring it. I mean, they were hostile, and that was just the girls. And I was like, oh, man, dang. Some tough mamacitas right here. And no, there was a bunch in there, and I was just like, wow, okay. So I decided to do a little demo, and I do a thing where I pull out a pair of nunchucks. That's, you know, Bruce Lee made them famous on the movie. And I had a volunteer come up, and I had him hold two pencils in his hand and one in his mouth. And the idea was to knock them out of his hands and hit that thing out of his mouth, too. I had an injured shoulder that day. I actually was icing and being ganged right before I had to get up. It's probably not a good thing. Plus a nerve deal anyway. I swung. That guy came up, pow, pow, knocked him out of his hands. That last one I swung to knock it out of his mouth, and my shoulder popped out of joint. Just that much. And I missed my mark pretty good. Hit him on his chin and split him wide open. I mean, wide open. And he was like, boom, staggered. I never hit anybody accidentally like that, you know? And I was like, all I could do was say, I'm sorry. And then I made him hold still so I could still knock it out, which was sick. You shouldn't do that. That messy. So what was crazy, though, all them kids that were like this beforehand going, what you going? After I hit him and he was bleeding, they had to butterfly him up. I turned around. That same crowd was like this. I go, man, this preacher, man, he's crazy. And I felt a surge of boldness then. I got a real evangelistic with the moonchucks. I shared my story, and then at the end, I figured, well, I guess I ought to give them an opportunity to respond to Jesus. I didn't have no music. There wasn't no dim lights. It was just a raw setting. So at the end, I just said, hey, if what I said makes sense to you, and you feel like God's drawing you, and you want to repent of things in your life, meaning turn and follow God, give God your life, because I kind of believe in that. I believe when a person gets saved, that whole thing is to give God your whole life. I don't know about half-stepping on that, because some people, they want to trust God with their eternity, but they don't want to trust Him with their time on the earth. To me, it's kind of the same deal. And so anyway, I just said, well, anybody want to give your life to Jesus Christ and all that? And I said, you know, go ahead and stand up. It's gang kids. MS-13, Bloods, Crip, Mexican Mafia, 56 kids. What was it? I think it was 53 kids responded. I think there was about 75 kids there. They stood up. I was shocked. I mean, because it was like popcorn. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, I don't think y'all understood me. Sit down. Sit down. Kind of a different altar call right there. I mean, I'm pretty slow, but I'm consistently slow. So I'm thinking, look. I said, hey, look here. Y'all don't get to get out of jail if you come to Christ. I mean, I didn't say that anywhere, did I? That's not in the fine print. As a matter of fact, I was saying, some of you really need to be in jail. I ain't kidding you. But also tell them kids, you know what? Jail's not the worst place you could be. And where they are, I always tell them kids, where you are, it's not who you are. It's just where you are, unless it's what you want to be. Well, I finished that, and I went home. I told my wife, because even the warden, I told him, I said, is this normal? I don't understand. He had tears coming down his face. He said, He said, I'm a Christian, Victor. He said, I've been praying someone will come in and touch these kids and reach them. He said, as you. And then that kind of was like, whoa. It's humbling, right? I mean, really humbling. I went home and told my wife, I said, wow, can't believe it, honey. I never seen a harvest like that. These kids were so eager. When they heard the truth, they responded overwhelming. And don't worry, I still get people say, well, is that real jailhouse? Is that just jailhouse conversions? I'm like, well, I don't know. God does. How about people that walk down the aisle at your church? Is that real? I just know jail's a good place for God to move. Most of the New Testament was written from it. Some of the heroes of our faith lived there. People who guarded them got saved. And it is funny to see guards get saved when you give an altar call. I was in a max security down in Texas one time. I gave an altar call. One of the big guards goes, I want that. I was like, you can't. It's a kid altar call. Sorry, you gotta wait. I'll give an adult one in a minute. Well, that's what we do. We spent the last 10 years of our life going to juvenile facilities, foster care group homes, any place where hard, hurting, abused kids are. Because I like them. The meaner, the better. Because God specializes in that, right? Apostle Paul, remember him? Yeah. Saul before? God likes to get to men's hearts. And most of the time, it's just people trying to protect themselves because of hurt and pain they've experienced. Right? But I will tell you how we totally knew that we were supposed to do this. Cause God put it in our heart and people say, cause y'all have to understand, before this, I was living in Hawaii, suffering for the Lord. Somebody gotta reach the natives. Alright, so, you know, we're living in Hawaii. I had a successful business, two of them. We had one of the largest martial arts schools in Hawaii. Had ownership in a construction company. I lived in a rainforest. Gentlemen, I worked 8 hours a week. And I didn't complain one bit about it. I had a great staff and I was enjoying life. And I never forget the Lord. He said, are you redeeming your time, your talents, and your treasures for the maximum benefit of my kingdom? I was like, no. But y'all it looked like some of y'all expected something a little more spiritual. I'm honest with God. He kind of knows anyway. I said, no, Lord, but I'm doing pretty good. I tithe. I share Jesus with people. And he just said, really, come follow me in a new way, in a fresh way. And it was challenging. I didn't want to do it. I'll tell you, I didn't want to do it. And you've heard that saying, footprints in the sand. Man, mine was heel and butt marks in the sand from being dragged. Come on, I know it's best for you, boy. Come on. Like you've never been drugged by the scruff of your neck. I like that one, Jesus is carrying you. Oh, come on, Vic. Quit kicking. Well, this is how we knew we were supposed to do that. 3 months before I went into that juvenile facility, 3 months, my wife and I on a date night. Date night's good, right? Married men, date your wives. Telling you right now, date them. That's how you got them. Dating them. That's a good way to keep them. Date them. Your wives need to be dated. They need to be loved, affirmed. They need to know you desire them. Them. Not just them. Them. Their heart. Who they are. When was the last time you looked at your wife and said, babe, what are your dreams? I mean, this time and place in your life, what do you look forward to? What would you still like to accomplish? Ask her. Man, talk about woo her. Women, they really want you to care about who they are, not just what they can do. My wife and I on a date night. She was actually pregnant for our fourth baby. We're leaving the mall. Cheap date, sorry. We're leaving the mall. We're sitting in the light, and a carload of gangbangers pulled up next to us. No doubt. Music, look, they're sporting their colors. That's the kind where you just kind of look forward. Don't make eye contact, babe. You know. And then I heard this voice, share me with them. I was like, I'll rebuke that thought right now. In the name of Jesus. Get behind me. I mean, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. You know when he talks to you, right? You kind of, because it's so, typically it's stuff you wouldn't do on your own. I was like, what? Like maybe he'll tell you to support someone needing to go to the men's retreat or give or help someone out. And you're like, what? Trust God. Trust God. Trust God with your money. Or the lack thereof. One time we were on a little tour, my wife and kids. From Hawaii, we did 3 months in the mainland. This is part of our obedience to Him. We traveled from church to church, anywhere we could go in a van. And we didn't take credit cards. We said, we're just going to go by faith. We'll take some cash, and then if it runs out, Lord's going to have to provide. It ran out. We ran out over by Tom Stipes Church in Colorado. And my wife got sick. She was in a hotel. She had pneumonia. We couldn't even do the event at Tom's church. So I just went to church. It was a Wednesday night. I had just enough money to buy dinner, which was these little bitty hamburgers, and fed my kids, and my wife's in bed. We didn't have enough money to check out the hotel. How's that? That's kind of fun. Tell the front staff, no, we enjoy it here. We're just going to keep staying. You know what? I went to that church, sat in the back, and the offering plate came around, and the Lord said, give them all the money you have left. I was like, Lord, but it's 23 cents. And that's really how much it was. I just had some change. And real quickly, you know, I had that like, but Lord, and it was like, but who cares? What's 23 cents going to do me? Okay. And you know what? I went out to my van, had our little logo on it that night. Somebody had written a check and stuck it on our windshield for a lot of money. They didn't know me. They just saw a ministry thing. It was actually frozen because it was sleet and snow. I was chipping that thing off. Glory to God. Oh, man, we bought steak. We had a good time. Trust me, God's faithful. He says you can test him in that stuff. Don't worry about that. Well, how we knew? On a date night, those guys are next to us. Lord says, share me with them. So I bought my horn. I said, hey, on your window. The guy rolled down the window. He's like, I said, pull over. I want to talk to you. Guy was like, and then, you know, turn his music back up and you got all, there was a few guys in the car. And I was like, Lord, your servant was willing. Now bless me. You know, it's like, come on, Vic. You can do better. I was like, I look in the back seat, y'all. I'm not kidding you. A guy in the back seat had pulled out a big butterfly knife, balisong knife, and he was opening like this. And I said, oh, Lord, they're packing too. What you want me to do? Tell him. So I said, all right. So I bumped the horn again. The guy around there, I want to turn the music. I said, pull over, man. I want to talk to y'all. He said, hey, pull over. You know, I know how to be naughty. So I was like, well, are you afraid of an old man? And then I pulled in behind him in my minivan. Trying to be all hard. I get out, they pile out, and bless my wife's heart, she was praying like, Lord, I hope his medicine's in the therapeutic range because I don't know what my husband's doing. And she's praying, she's a good prayer warrior. I got out, they start coming at me, and I just had to stop them, right? Because I said, hey, stop. You, I saw you with the knife in the back. And they stopped like that, and I was thinking, now what, Lord? He said, you a cop? I was like, I was thinking real hard. How could I lie and not be a lie? I was like, I was a third grade crosswalk guy with the whistle. I said, no, I ain't a cop. I said, but I'm a master martial arts. I said, I want to show you how to open and close that knife the right way. I think that shocked him more. He's like, you crazy. I said, no, no. I've trained over 30 world champions. I said, over the course of my career, I've worked with Delta Force, SEAL Team Operators, Force Recon, Marine Corps, CIA, FBI. I said, look, give me the thing. And he was like, all right. So he went and got it. He handed it to me right underneath these parking lot lights. I take it and I tore it. I start doing a demonstration. They're like, ah, and then I stab him in his neck. Boom! What you gonna do? Old men rule. No. Sorry. No, it's not good to stab people when you're witnessing to them. Don't do that. I tell you, now let me tell you the real reason why I pulled you over. To tell you about the master I know and serve. His name is Jesus Christ. Make a difference in your life. And I shared, and they listened. And you know what? By the time we were done with that, three of them boys let me pray with them right underneath the light. But one of these guys, oh yeah, it's totally God. One of these guys, he come walking up, he had big hair, he starts screaming at me. He's cussing and screaming, and he wants to fight me. They're grabbing him, they're saying, dude, calm down. This guy, man, he all right? He all right? And he's like, oh, and I said, man, what are you so angry about? I ain't angry. All right. And I was like, hey, man, I'm telling you. I said, God wants to live his life through you, through his son, Jesus Christ, to make you the man. I bet you are. God, don't tell me about God. If you knew what I went through, run. I said, all right, believe me, I understand. But I says, the truth won't be changed because of the way you feel. And he stomped off. And that, how many of you know that will get next to you? I mean, right on the tail of something great, boom, all this. Got my van. My wife's going, wow, that was crazy. I said, I know, man. But we'd pray for that guy every time we kind of thought about him. Lord, help that big-haired, crazy kid. Now, 3 months later, I go into that juvenile prison, right? Guess who got arrested? In the very back row, big hair. And when I showed Christ, guess who raised his hand and stood up? It was him. He gave his life to Christ. And we hand out Bibles afterwards often. And I never forget, they want you to sign them sometimes. So I got to him. He's on the very back row, far left. He picked the Bible and said, hey, man, you signed my Bible? I said, yeah, man. I said, hey, homie. No, I said, hey, you remember me? He goes, yeah. I said, I remember you. Look who's in the jail now. Look who's in the jail. No. That's not encouraging to new believers. You don't say that. I did ask him. I said, hey, man, I just need to know. I need to know why. Why today? Y'all, he looked up at me. Not like a 16-year-old. He looked up at me like a man. He said, mister, you told me that Jesus Christ wanted to live his life in and through me. He said, I'm tired of living my life for myself. I was like, oh, I need to tell that to some church people. Because sometimes we come to faith in Christ and we get on down the road. And then what ends up happening? We start living our life for ourselves and then we get miserable. And then we're not effective. We're not effective. And we hear lots of Bible studies, but man, it ain't really, doesn't seem to be working out. Our witness goes down. We don't have a passion for the things of the Lord anymore. And we, in essence, we become wimpy Christians. And if there's any title of the message today, I would call it the five marks of a wimpy Christian man. Because nobody likes to be called a wimp. Am I right? How many of you used to play athletics? Right? You want a coach telling you, dude, what you so wimpy for? Worse, you would not want a fellow athletic, somebody on your team going, buck up, man, are you kidding me? Pull your weight, what are you doing? Am I right? But it's like the church, we don't want to address anything like that. Sometimes we just want to be, it's okay, well, do your best. sometime we need to be exhorted, yeah? I'll tell you who motivates me in the Bible is John the Baptist. To me, he's probably one of my all-time favorite heroes. Because you could say, yes, Jesus is our role model. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a man like Jesus. But Jesus was God. Now, he was a man too, but I mean, come on. Am I right or am I treading on sacred ground here? Don't talk about Jesus, man. I'm just saying he's the Son of God. I mean, he's like. So I like to kind of look at men who were born of women and a man that had a, didn't. And John the Baptist is a guy that I like. Because it was actually Jesus that said of him, not a one greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. There were prophecies about him. He's Jesus' cousin, right? And he really modeled for me how to be a man of God. How to not be a wimp. And believe me, I'm not standing up here in perfection. I'm just telling you, this is the direction we all need to go every day. Amen? Well, before I go any further, y'all want to see a little martial art move? I mean, that's, yeah. Look at that guy. Yeah, that's what I came for, man. Better do it. I don't know about all that talk. I'm serious. I did a men's luncheon one time. So only about 25 men. It was a fundraiser for our ministry down in Alabama. These were all hot cotton guys, bankers, owners of businesses. And man, I give a compelling thing of our ministry and what we do. We show a video, and I'm serious. After I was done, they were like, that's good. Hey, you going to do any of that martial arts crap, man? That's what we come for. I was like, yeah, okay. So I feel like a monkey in cymbals, trust me. I've been doing this so long. I get tickled when people are tickled, that's all, okay? I need a volunteer, though, and come on, brother, come on up. Let's give him a hand. All right. Yeah, shoulder's good. I love it. Man of wisdom right there. Well, okay, let's start off with something fun. I'm going to pull out my training pistol. This is a training pistol. Although I get hassled, I mean, I got stopped on the airplane. They wouldn't let me board. Then they said, okay. And then when I was going through security, they stopped us again and said, no, we're not going to let it on. I was like, and through prayer and some talking, they let us through. So it's a training pistol. If you're an off-duty officer, please don't pull out your back up and put two rounds in my center mass. Okay, here we go. All right. This is a little demonstration we like to do. This is as a professional grade airsoft gun. So I can't get hurt. I don't really care about you. I'm more. Let me stand right here. Okay. I do this. It's kind of fun. Why don't you just hold it like that? I go into juvenile facilities and, I'm trying to do little wah moves and all that type of stuff to get the kids' excitement, right? So this would be a bad place to be. Amen? Okay, so you pull the trigger when I go to do a little karate. I got to stretch for a minute. Hang on. Okay, that's it. All right, you can put your finger on the trigger. There you go, and you just pull it when you see me do a little karate move, okay? And boom. Is it on? Yeah, go ahead. Oh. Okay, that one worked. Okay, how many like spinning kicks? Let me try a spinning kick. When you see me move, pull the trigger. Okay, that wouldn't work much either. Martial arts is a diminishable skill. Please, I'm getting older. Okay, when you see me move, you pull the trigger. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you, buddy. Hey, you know what? You know I like this guy? Because this is exactly my target mark right here. This young warrior used to be in a juvenile facility, and now he's walking with the Lord. Let's give him a big hand. Well, I hold the world's record currently for the fastest martial arts gun disarm. And again, we try to leverage that to give platform. The things that we use to lure us up, to get us in front of people, I'll do it in order to present the gospel and give people hope. Amen? And we recently, you know, we wrote a book, kind of proud of that. Eighth grade was the best 6 years of my life, so writing a book, pretty fancy. I love Brother Fred here. Man, Fred Price, I call him a smarty pants, man. Marine veteran, liver transplant, and Harvard grad, what the heck? Triple threat. Education's good. So what we did is we tried to use the most strategic points of opportunity to reach this time. And media is a big thing for this generation, you guys. We do the social Facebook and stuff. We actually have a YouTube channel. Has anybody ever been to that thing? We start a YouTube channel. We're like, okay, do the YouTube thing. Put up a video of a gun that's on my dad with a kid who's locked up. And now our channel has over 13 million views all around the world. Only the Lord. And then we went ahead and a documentary film was made on my life story. But to open it, I said, you know, we need to have a catchy, fun little scene. If you're going to put down a juvenile facility or a men's group or anything, how are you going to get a kid to watch a Christian film? They going to watch a Christian film? Not so much. Not what they're used. So I told my wife, I said, honey, let's do a little fun little scene, a little fight scene. I said, that kind of be cool. Maybe we'll, you know, it'll be funny. But she goes, okay, because my wife's a black belt too. So all my kids, I mean, you know, it's a whole family deal. Can you imagine when we have a domestic? Not good. They just roll the gas in there. Let them come out. Then taser each one. Okay, no. So let's watch this opening scene, you guys, to the film. That means don't copy my film. Buy it. One floor.
I'll get it. Give me your money and the lady too.
Buddy, you can have the money, but I don't think you want the lady. No, honey, that's not what I meant. No, honey, I wasn't meaning that in a derogatory. No, I'm sorry.
What do you think this is, a joke? I said give me your money.
You sure this is what you want?
What do you think?
Thank you.
good catch.
I told you, you didn't want the lady.
All right, all right. Well, we've been stoked to see how God has ordained and used that to reach many folks. It's been shown on 4 networks thus far, and it's in 15 languages now in just a year, a little over a year that we've had it out. God's blessing. And to the angst of our distributors, we loaded it up on YouTube last month so people could watch it free. And we have, I think, over 33,000 people have watched it. And if you go there, just read the comments. There were real people getting saved. I mean, from deep darkness. I love one guy who said, I'm an atheist. Oh, I couldn't stop watching it. Okay, how do I give my life to God? I'm just like, because it's a strong message of God's redemption. And you guys, let me just tell you in a 2-minute, a short version of my story. Because, you know, we have a book and you can watch the film. But I was born to, my biological dad is someone who didn't claim me as his kid. And rejection, I think, is the mother load of everything. You can get punched in the mouth and you heal up. But when you have emotional scars that hurt you deep, they stay with you most of your life. That's what fueled a lot of my anger. My dad didn't want me. Said, as a matter of fact, when my mom was pregnant, he said, that ain't my kid. My mom had gone to marry 6 times. I lived in 17 different houses. I went to 14 schools. My father became a drug dealer and a pimp and a practicing warlock. So that's the background of my 2 biological parents. At 5 years old, my life drastically changed. In the woods down in Mississippi, I was caught in between 2 chicken houses by a child molester. And I was assaulted. And left, he tried to kill me by locking me in a commercial cooler as a kid, leaving me there to die, hoping I would never tell what had happened. But my family looked for me after hours of not being home. When they found me actually in that cooler unconscious. They rushed me up to the house. And then when I was able to come conscious and tell them what had happened through chattering teeth, they found that guy and they beat him inside of his house. They hogtied him and drug him behind a tractor and hung him from behind my mama's house. And they cut him down once he passed out because they didn't want to go to prison. But that's crazy. But when you're raised in that type of dysfunction, it's normal. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have to get out of that circle of craziness for people to go, that ain't normal. Huh? Because of my mother bringing in stepfathers into the home, I tell you what, a stepfather can be one of the greatest blessings and joy and a gift to family, or it can be the worst evil curse. More stuff is done evil by stepfathers because they have an entree to the kids or to a weak woman, and that was unfortunately our deal. I was abused from him as well, physically, emotionally, sexually, and the things that was worse for me is he would torture us. They would call it torture. Well, water torture. I've been dunked in a tub till I passed out. Only to wake up on the ground, having him breathe into my mouth, telling me, boy, don't you ever forget I'm the one that gives you life. But those are what I call lies based in reality. My friend, those are the hardest to get through. Because as a kid, you believe him. But when you become a man, when you have absolutely the truth from God's word, which is, that's our only plumb line, God's word. Not man's philosophy, not any, it's God's word. That's what transforms our mind, huh? And I remember reading about God, the sovereignty of God, and Him being the giver of life. And I thought, you know what? I had to change that. I was electrocuted as a kid. Just crazy stuff. Why do I hold the world's fastest gun to someone? Because at 7 years old, sitting in a chair, my stepfather pulled out a pistol, a revolver. And I'll never forget looking at the rounds. He pulled the hammer back and he would tap me to the side of my head. He would tell me, boy, if you ever tell anybody what I've done, I'll blow your brains out, put the pistol in your hands, and tell the police you got my gun as a kid and shot yourself accidentally. You think that messed me up? Yeah.
I don't care who you are or how strong you are, your psyche can only take so much. As a result, I got spun in a lifestyle of trying to deal with my pain and torment in my mind. Started drugs in the sixth grade, started fighting, but I wasn't a good fighter. I get beat up a lot, and that's why I pursued martial arts. And I always said, man, if somebody puts a gun in my head, I'm gonna be able to change that situation. And that's what drove me. What drives you? What drives you in your life? You know, something I learned, that Jesus Christ, we call him the Good Shepherd because he leads us and he guides us. He doesn't drive us. And I don't care who you are, kid locked up to a multi-millionaire, you cannot run your past. You can compartmentalize it, but it will come up. And I tell people, our behavior tells on us. And I started having all kind of crazy behaviors. And I end up having to go into psychiatric care. I had 123 visits to a trauma specialist in 9 months. I've been on Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, lithium, Buspar. I wouldn't respond to situations. I would overreact. I would be hypervigilant. I would have flashbacks. And that will mess your day up. And I tell people too, I go, hey, you struggle with anger, you get ticked off because somebody doesn't let you in on the road and you honk your horn, or you give somebody stink eyes, and I tell people, one day your angry is going to run up against somebody else's angry who got a little bit more angry. And you never know why you think you're just going to be able to talk. This guy may be thinking, I'm going to stab you in your eye with a pencil. I had a guy come up to me one time. He's a big old boy, because I was small most of my life, but I'll never forget. He came up to me. He was trying to intimidate me. I just looked at him and said, because I wasn't responding to his intimidations. I just said, buddy, you ever been locked in a cooler for dead? I have. You're about to be my therapy. He saw what I call crazy eyes. Right? You've seen them before. It may have been yours. You're like, huh, this ain't worth it. This dude's crazy, man. Yeah, you're right. I'll let you go this time. Good. That man I'm getting put in prison. I like prison. He escaped from prison. He was on the NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw. It was a major manhunt. He fled the country, and the feds never caught him. And we're so country, we see him on the news, we're like, hey, there's our daddy. Run, daddy, run. No, you know what? Years later, he would turn himself in, do his time, and then he was reduced to nothing. But I hated that man. I was driven by that hate. And it messed me up. I'm not going to kid y'all. Well, my mom had married a new guy, and we were with him for a little bit. I got in trouble at school, kind of juvenile stuff, and he was going to whoop me with a paddle, and I remember standing up to him. I said, ain't nobody going to touch me again. I was 15 years old. Man, y'all remember that day where you just said, I'm a man now? I don't go for this no more. So I'm like this, and he said, oh. He took me to the back of the trailer, opened the door, and he said, boy, if you get in my face again, I will beat you like a man. He was part Native American. So he kind of talked slow. I will take you outside. I was like, how? No, just a joke. Cut on tongue. Yeah, I'm politically correct. So I'm going to tell y'all something. I was so angry. I said, I don't care. I know you can whoop me. I don't care, but I'm going to hit you one time. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And he saw the crazy eyes. Like, I'm going to wait for you to go sleep and get a pill case with bricks in it and have a pillow fight. And this tripped me out. He said, come here. I followed him. He went back into his bedroom, reached underneath his bed, got a briefcase out, laid it on his bed and opened it up and laid out these newspaper clippings. He said, boy, you need to read this before you ever get in my face again or think anything crazy. I was like, whatever. I looked down. It's a guy handcuffed. He got a long ponytail. was going through. He got arrested. Why? Because he went to a bar. He was a biker, got in a fight, pulled out a gun, shot two people and killed a man. Then was sentenced to Chino prison for murder. I finished reading the article. It was my stepfather. I looked at that. I said, "That's you." He said, "Yes." I said, "You killed a man?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You went to Chino prison for murder?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to go mow the lawn right now, Dad." I remember my mom come home. I said, "Hey, Mom, come here. Come here, Mom." I was like, "Hey, you know you married a murderer? Just tell me. Did you know?" She says, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Oh, we're being held hostage." She's like, "Shut up, Victor. Of course I knew." It's like, "Well, when were you going to tell us?" She said, "I guess when you needed to know." And apparently, you needed to know. I was like, "But you know, you got to stay optimistic regardless of what the craziness is." I remember being at school and, you know, thinking somebody was going to say, "Hey, man, you won't mess with me, man. I got brothers. My dad will whoop your dad." I was like, "No, your dad won't whoop my dad. My dad will kill your dad." Read the newspaper article, man. Well, unfortunately, people say, if your parents are messed up, what about your grandparents? One of my grandfathers died in a mental hospital. I never met him. It was the same mental hospital my own biological dad had to go to for homicidal tendencies. Y'all starting to see the picture here? Generational, crazy cycles, right? And I thought, "Well, do we have a timeshare? I mean, when do I go in?" And then my other grandfather, I knew him and I loved him. He was a great guy. Oh, he was great to be around. But he had this one thing about his wife. He told her, "Don't ever cheat on me. You can leave, you can divorce me, just don't cheat on me." That was his rule. But she cheated on him. And my grandfather, true to his word, sadly enough, found her at a racetrack, walked up to her, pulled out a pistol and shot her right in her head in front of everybody. Her body collapsed, she's bleeding out. With regret, he just shook his head and put the pistol in his mouth and killed himself. That's my family. That is my background. You know, it's funny, the doctors told me, they told me, "You have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because of everything you endured." And I never forget, a doctor looked right at me and said, "Victor, your mind will never fully function properly." Being the rebel I am, I look back at him and said, "Well, it never fully functioned anyway." People say, "What'd you do? How did you change?" Well, first thing, I got out of there. Sometimes you have to leave what you know in order to get your life straight. Amen? Look at me. I love my family, but some of them are crazy. I mean, I was like, "I love y'all, but I'm out." And I found an organization to take me in. That's right. Remember? Iraq, food to eat, and an M16. I was like, "Can I shoot people?" They're like, "Yeah, the ones we tell you." They're like, "Boy, you got issues, don't you?" "Yes, sir." They were like, "Okay, come on in." And that was the United States Marine Corps. They needed them back then, right? We were filling the gap after Vietnam. And man, that M16, I tell you what, I love that weapon. I love that. Weapons are good. Because I said, "Man, if I can't beat a person like this, I'm going to beat them like this." And for those of you who shoot or hunt, from 546 yards on a prone position on M16A1, I could put 10 rounds on the able target of a man without a scope. So I became a PMI and an instructor. And you know, I was still empty. That's what's crazy enough. I was still empty. Because it doesn't matter the skill sets you get or the giftings you have. I tell people, gifts and skills can take you to a place where your character can't sustain you. That's why, look at our pro athletes. They get up there, they're getting checks, they've got the most phenomenal 1% skill in the world, and yet they can't even maintain a decent, honorable life. You have to work on the character. Who are you? Not just what you can do. Who really are you? And I have the privilege of mentoring different guys, from elite military operators to the NFL. I never forget military. One guy, I was back on the East Coast, known him for years. He's a very used operator.
But I was in his home. He said, "Victor, man, you're one of my heroes." And I'm like, "What, bro? Cut that." He said, "No, man." He said, "I'm going to give you something." He said, "I'm going to my basement to get it." I was like, this type of guy, basement talk ain't good. I was like, should I be worried? He smiled. No. He goes downstairs. He comes back up. I'm at the table. He puts on the table a 12 by 12 piece of tile. For you. Yeah, that's how you would respond. Thanks. I said, "Bro, it's a tile. Ugly. What? Help me out here." He smiled. He goes, "I know, but I pulled it out of Osama bin Laden's headquarters in Afghanistan after we bombed it." I said, "Thanks." I told him, I said, "Man, if the ministry gets low on funds, I'm going to put this thing on eBay." He mumbled something like, "You'll never hear the drone hit you." And I was like, "What? What? Nothing." Character. Guys, character. I mean, how do we as men not be Christian men who are basically wimpy? Is that a wrong question to ask? Or can I just talk to you as men? Look, back in the 80s, I was on staff with Brian Brodesson. Man, I studied. I studied expositional teaching. I studied all the greats. I mean, oh my gosh. I love solid theologians. Okay? Everybody from MacArthur to even, you know, Psy on Duck Dynasty. All of them. I studied the greats. I love Duck Dynasty. I just got to throw that in there. I ain't kidding, y'all. I am not kidding. You know, Phil and his son just spoke out at, what's that church out there? Saddleback. Rick Warren's church, right? Y'all should have heard Phil. He's like, "What's wrong with y'all, California? No more homosexual marriage. What's that about? That ain't godly. What's wrong with y'all, California?" I mean, people are, I was like, "Preach it, Phil." Another Louisiana boy just telling it like it is. A cow eats the cabbage. Here, a few things I want to point out to you, I hope encourage you. There's five marks of a wimpy man, Christian. One thing I think will make a man who follows the Lord struggles wimpy is lack of purity. Listen to me. If you don't have purity in your life, you're going to lack power. And if you don't have power, you don't have authority. And you don't have an authority, you're not going to have confidence. Do y'all hear me? I'm telling you like it is. The biggest thing facing the body of Christ for men today is purity. And we've been told and programmed that we can't really have strong purity. That's a lie. That is a lie. You don't have to succumb to your natural desires, turn to sinful pleasures. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I don't care what it is. And I believe in purity. And I'm not standing up and tell y'all that I live pure every day, but I'm telling you what, I strive and seek God's help for it. Do you understand? And when I stumble and fall in word, deed, action, or my eyes, I repent. I say, "God, that's not how you made me." Because guess what? The same power that raised Christ from the dead actually dwells in us. Man. And you got to stand up and against it sometime. No matter what or where. Don't give yourself... I tell people, if you struggle with porn because of a smartphone, get yourself a dang dumb phone. Make life easy on yourself, right? Come on. Just be honest with it, right? And then stand up for what's right. John the Baptist did. Man, he went out to the wilderness. You know he had to be pure. What are you going to do, lust after cactus? But there was a purity about him, even from the time he was in the womb. Holy Spirit came upon him. His mom, Elizabeth, right? His parents prayed. God wants you to be pure. Wants to be pure. You get married, still be pure. Make your bed undefiled. I tell people, look, divorce and cheating and all that stuff based on that, long before that happens, typically the man or the woman, it's the mind that goes. Bed undefiled. Don't you try to turn your wife into some type of porn star because of stuff you've been watching. use her. You love her, not use her. Do you understand? Man, women know. They know the difference. If anybody should be celebrating sex, it is godly men and women in the church. God ordained it. And do you know when I stand up before kids, whether they're locked up or in a public school, and I tell them, look here, I believe in purity. When I met my wife, we had both been in the world, but we became new Christians. And when we did, we looked at each other. We started getting sweet on each other. And then we decided, hey, we're kind of sweet. Yeah, we are. We're going to do this God's way. So we're going to get married, but we're going to wait until we're married. And then after married, we're going to have lots of kids and practice a lot to have those kids. Okay? God made it. He ordained it. Why not? Give me a break, you know. And I never forget my brother and family. My brother told me when we were engaged, he said, hey, man, so how is she? I said, how is she what? He said, how is she in bed? I said, dude, you know I became a Christian. I'm following Jesus. I won't be his disciple. I said, the Bible says we're not supposed to do that. I don't want to do it. He said, little brother, come here. He said, look, I understand you all in that Jesus stuff, but don't take this too far. How in the world are you going to marry a woman and not know if you're sexually compatible to her? And I was a young man. I was like, I don't know. I never thought about, oh my gosh, what if we're not sexually? That's a good point. But then see, my family and the world's philosophy was challenging what God's word says to purity. And you always go back to this, not man's wisdom. And I said, God, I need an answer. He's my big brother. And I respect him. He's weird, but he's a swamp boy too. He's just a rich one. He actually invented a drilling bit. And now he's president of an oil company deal. He's a million tall cotton, big fat cow business. I'm like, oh God, what are we going to do? And I felt like the Lord gave me a perfect little story. I said, brother, look here. I said, you like Ferraris. What if we went to the Houston dealership, walked into the showroom floor, and you could buy any Ferrari you want? I said, but the only thing, you don't have to buy it. They'll give it to you. They'll give you title on the keys of the car you pick out. Only thing, they won't let you test drive it around. Would you still take it? He goes, of course, man. I looked right at my brother and said, I found me a Ferrari. I ain't got a test drive, nothing. And listen here. When I tell this to those kids in jail or public high schools, I mean party high schools, one of them, 2,000 kids in the stands, I said, look, I believe in purity. Me and my wife waited. You should wait. If you have it, then you should start. Make yourself pure. I said, girls, don't you give a guy, you know, boom, boom, boom. I said, guess what? I've been married 25 years, one woman, never cheated or been cheated on. And I got 5 children. That is my greatest title, being a husband and a dad over anything I've ever done, bar none. Do you know what? Those kids erupt with applause almost every time because they know that's good and they even want that. We should be modeling it for them. Don't let purity, do not let the enemy get you down in purity. Another area I think we should look at and protect ourselves from is just being afraid. I call it scaredy cats. Anybody ever been afraid before? I think those hats, no fear, is dumb. Because there is fear. Huh? There is fear. But the Bible says we haven't been given a bondage of fear, a spirit of fear. But we've been given a what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, we need to reverence the Lord with reverential fear. But don't fear the enemy. Don't make him whisper you and all that type of stuff. Because if you do, you'll be paralyzed. Just like in a fighting situation. If you get all froze up, you're going to get pounded. Don't. And when people are afraid, they'll be passive in appropriate situations. I'm glad John the Baptist wasn't. When those religious people came, he said, you brood of vipers, what's brought you out here? Did he say, well, let's have a conflict resolution. I think we should discuss. He's like, better shut your mouth. Now, there's an extreme, and I'm an example of it. I was first on staff in the late 80s at a Calvary chapel under Brian Brodison. And a guy, here's the short story. A guy ended up cheating on his wife, and he did it a few times. And I would counsel him. I wasn't even married yet. I was just a young man out the Marine Corps, right? I knew the Bible. And then the last time, the wife called me and said, oh, my gosh, he's cheating on again. But he left in a rage, and he hit our little bitty girl, a toddler girl. He slapped and knocked against the wall. And guess who showed up at our church? That dude. Because he wants to be reconciled, right? Well, he came to my office. We sat down. This time I let him sit on my desk. I sat by the door. I said, so what's going on? Oh, man, yeah, he's just a wimp. Call him a Christian professing wimp. Oh, my gosh. And I said, dude, your wife called. You hit your little girl on the way out. He goes, yeah, I know, man. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. He said, man, I should be hit. I said, I can do that. I closed that door and went at him. And this dude went from, to on the back, feet kicking, screaming like a third grade girl. I'm all, all of a sudden the door busts open, it's the associate pastor. Hey, Victor. Now he knew me, my mentality said, hey, Victor, come see. I'm all, they were there. We walk out in the hall, it's Gaylord Toehill. Gaylord goes, hey, Victor. Here, when a pastor's on staff counseling, he looked at me and he just said real calmly, we don't hit people. That's to which I responded, no, it's okay. He said he should be beat. These type, you just got to beat on them, man. They'll get it. He said, Victor, I understand, but this guy's screaming, this dude's crazy. Call the police. I'm like, what a wimp. So he didn't let me beat on him. Next thing is some Christian men, they're just not willing to engage in the battle, in the real spiritual battle, because either they don't believe it's real or they're just like, you want comfort, you want pleasure, you're not willing to sacrifice, you're not willing. Does that make sense? And here in a quick nutshell, last week, Sunday, guys, I'm speaking in a church in Iowa. Guess what happened? I started talking about angels and demons. When I started talking about demons, a woman jumped up, completely manifested a demon. I mean, this was a conservative little church. I went, she stood up, she runs through the back of the sanctuary and hits the doors. Boom, runs out the back, pins herself to a wall, just like that. And I went, how do you respond after that? Everybody's all. All I could say was, that is a great example of a manifestation of a third demon right there. And you know what? Afterwards, they're waiting. They're like, pray for her. I was like, y'all pray for her. Not my church. And she said, well, you know. And sure enough, believe me, real demon, real stuff. Real stuff. We're going to pray for her. I said, does she really want to be prayed for? She said, yeah, this demon's been in her 4 years. Last year and a half, it's almost tried to destroy her. The last, I think they said 3 weeks, they said it's uncontrollable now. It's just got worse and worse. Because that's what demons do. They'll lie to you. They'll get in. They'll wiggle their way, right? And then they start to, and I don't care if you're being oppressed or demonized or whatnot. Demons hate people. And I sat there on that desk. I'm like, I'm going, wow. I don't believe Christians can be possessed. Are we okay with that? Okay. But, man, don't think demons won't hassle you. I looked at this girl. I said, well, okay, we got to do this. We're in Iowa. I think we may need some pigs or something. And if we're going to get all biblical. Hey, it was good enough for Jesus. He did the swine deal. You know, if you ain't got pigs, I'm like, get a burrito. There's some sausage in there. But to make the demon go in there, I'm going to tell you right. So I prayed a prayer, seeing this canopy of God's blood to cover this room. I prayed that all communication would be broken between this demon and the others to isolate, right? It's very important. And then when it came time, I just looked at it. I said, demon, come forth. And this girl went from this, the lady went from this to like that, and her eyes solid black, her face contorted. I was like, well, there you are. I get afraid at the wrong times. In those type of situations, God's power comes on you. He'd give you a peace, even a joy, even make you think funny thoughts.
And I said, one thing, I said, Dean, what's your name? I said, yeah, you are. Because there's something about you get their name, they lose power. Demon look at me. I said, you look at me. I said, oh, I'm going to call a warring angel down there to hack you with a sword. Like that. I said, that worked. What's your name? And some name came out, started with an A. Like, and I was like, what does it mean? They don't want to tell me. Finally did. You know what that demon was sent to? The name was Seek and Destroy. And I said, all right. We got to a point where I said, well, it's time to go. In the authority of Jesus Christ, you must leave. And I mean, it was instant. Boom. Boom. The girl. And she looked up. I said, gone? She goes, yes. Yes. I said, are there any others? I'm only good for one a day. I need to go eat lunch. I mean, let's just, we'll end right there. Nice session. Be 1995. We take Visa and MasterCard. No, you know what? That girl came to church that night, fully got into Bible studies. We've been tracking it on Facebook. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The battle's real, guys. Don't let the enemy try to make you fear and crazy about stuff like that. All right, I'm just going to give you the final points, and I'm going to expound on them. But the last, number four is men who are just falling to wimpiness, they fail to forget they're just passing through. If you remember you're just passing through, you'll be okay. The fifth one and final is most men simply don't understand how much God loves them. And if you don't have a very good understanding, if your no doesn't know how much God loves you, not just Victor, not Pastor Neil, but you personally, how much God loves you, you need to. Like me, so many of us had whacked out fathers on this earth, and we translate that to a heavenly father. Not the same, gentlemen. Replace lies with truth. Truth. Read the word. Believe it. God loves you. And when you know a dad loves you, really loves you, our heavenly dad, oh, you'll walk different, right? And when you stumble, boom, you get back up because you know he ain't waiting to crack you. He says, I love you. Well, you watch him on the film, but my biological dad, how I actually came to faith, my biological dad, the drug dealer pimp dude, he had written me a letter when I was in the Marine Corps. And he apologized for never being a dad for me. And then he said he was, something radically changed his life. My biological dad had given his life to Jesus Christ. Yeah. It was actually through him how I came to faith in the Lord. That's how I came to faith. Isn't that crazy? And when I got married to my bride, guess who was my best man? My dad. And God saved him, but not his voice. Big forearms. Tattoos, flat nose. He's like, hey, I'm your daddy. Like, hey, you ugly. He's in our film. You get to see an interview with him. And you know what? He got promoted February at 76 years old. He changed his address. So he's in heaven. And it hurts. I ain't going to lie. I miss him, but I'm happy for that sucker. I mean, he's having a heyday. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for what you've done here today. I thank you for each man and young man here. And Lord, you know some of them maybe just need to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Make you the Lord of their life. Maybe they not have. Maybe they're holding back. God, I pray that today, if you're drawing them, if they sense your spirit speaking to their heart, that they would respond today. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Anybody here, you say, Victor, I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, be forgiven of my sins, and live for him. Please pray for me. If that's you, lift your hand up real high and put it down, and I'll pray for you. Where you at? God bless you, buddy. Anybody else? God bless you, buddy. Anyone else? Hand up and down. God bless you, sir, and you. Good. Don't worry about your pride. That's what got you lost in the first place. It's like me. Just respond to God's Spirit. I'm not going to single you out or make you come up or nothing like that. Anybody else? Pray for me. I know. God bless you, sir. God bless you. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. Both of y'all back there. That's like shooting doves. They just keep flying over the cornfield. Good. That's the Holy Spirit drawing y'all. This is a good thing. Anyone else? Anyone else before I pray? Victor, pray for me. That's me. God bless you back there, buddy. Love it when the young ones surrender their life too. Praise the Lord.
Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, Victor, I do know the Lord, but I've let sin get in my life. I've given over to, I've lacked purity, the errors of my, I feel wimpy. And I want to be in such a right relationship with the Lord, knowing the truth, that He loves me, that He wants to use my life. And please pray for me, for you to be restored today, renewed. If that's you, just lift your hand and put it down. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. Yeah, we're in this together, guys. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, do the work that only you can do by the power of your Spirit. Touch these men, forgive them, cleanse them, empower them. May they be their greatest witness themselves. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the power of your word, which is our standard for living. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Jesus, thank you for the cross, which proves you love us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Victor. All right, fellas. If you could just have a seat for a moment. A man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. So for this morning, the burden on my heart is that there are those of you here that needed to hear not only what God said today, but also through whom He said it. Of the many things that Jesus exemplified for us, one of them was a realness and an approachability. God coming into the flesh. God incarnate, as we use the fancy theological word. But as I've gotten to know Victor more and more by watching his video and being on his website, reading through his book, and now hearing him this morning, one of the things that I hope all of us capture is the fact that God individually through us wants to be and can be incarnational, using us just the way we are in Christ. So guys, with the remaining time that we have, we want to set you free at 10 o'clock. I know some of you have work commitments, family commitments. You might even need to leave early. But let's redeem the time, because Scripture says the days are evil. What I'm going to ask be done right now is all the QBs of the men's ministry, the QBs, not the quarterbacks, but the quality brothers. If you could just please stand to your feet right now. I want you to be identified by the rest of the fellas here. So the guys standing right now are our quality brothers. What we would typically do, if you guys could just remain standing, is we would rearrange the chairs in short order and have some group discussion. But here's what I'd like to do instead with the time that we have. Those of you that Victor was able to lead in prayer, those of you that just responded by either making a commitment or a recommitment to Christ, I want you to identify these QBs, these quality brothers, or the quality Christian man that brought you here this morning. And please, guys, do not leave here without telling one of these guys or the person that brought you, that you've made that commitment. For the rest of us, again, with the time that we have, I think it's worth it to, if you could, get out that discussion sheet. It's a discussion items sheet that was on your seat when you got here today. And so we see John over here holding his up. You should all have one. If you don't, we can get you one. Would you please do yourself and the Lord this service? Would you make a commitment, even personally? You and God have the discussion, at minimum, over those questions, those issues that are on the discussion sheet at some point this week. Better yet, if you could connect with even one other guy, perhaps a guy that's here with you, this coming week, and sit down and have a conversation on the platform of those discussion questions. For the rest of you, because of the amount of guys we have here and the amount of QBs we have, if time permits, I'm going to ask you to take it a step further, to expand your border, if so to speak, and I'm going to ask you to utilize this opportunity to become translucent with one another. Now, I make a distinction between translucent and transparent. Transparent is that friend, that buddy, perhaps your spouse, that when they see you, it's like looking through a clean, clear plate of glass. They know you in and out. For everybody else, we need to have some kind of translucency in that you're letting your humanity shine through. You're willing to let your hair down, if so to speak. You're willing to let them know, hey, I have challenges, I have pains, I have fears, I have struggles. And fellas, if there's anything that was discussed today that you'd like to just open up to one of these other guys about in confidence, as men, here in the ultimate kind of lounge for us as guys, do it now. Or find that guy that you're already connected to doing that kind of thing this coming week and get real. Get real. So just some parting thoughts here, guys. Again, Victor, thank you so very much for not only being here, but for being an example to us of a guy who's just let it all out there, telling his story, the good, the bad, and the ugly, successes and warts and all, giving us an example to do the same. So again, if I could ask you all, let's give him one more round of applause. Here's a teaser. And Quality Brothers, thanks for continuing to stand. I want people to connect with you if they have a need to. What we'd like to do and what we're going to be doing as a church is talking with Michael, Victor's manager, and Victor as well, about doing some kind of men's event next year with Victor. So pray about that. If you see me around church, encourage me about that. And tell your guys, your Quality Brothers, your Bible Cafe leaders, your Bible study leaders, let them know, hey, we're praying for that. So that what we got today would be a bit of a teaser for what would come next year. Victor's story is in book form back there to my right, your left, in the back corner, as well as the DVD. Guys, utilize this as an outreach opportunity. A bridge between you and those people in your life that know they need to hear that man's story. Better yet, God's story through that man. And so the resources are back there. Do we have a cost for the resources, Michael? Suggested 10 each, 15 for both. If you don't have any money, just grab one. Guys, do this. Let's just say if we have an event next year, as I've talked to some of the other men in the church, one of the themes that keeps coming to mind amongst us is, got daddy issues? Question mark. Got daddy issues? In our day and age, it doesn't cease to amaze me how many guys have issues with their pops. Grown men still unhealed from the pains and the disappointments of their family life. I want to put those kind of men in contact with God's story through Victor and do it on a platform larger than Saturday morning. So please be in prayer about that. And your word of mouth transference of that person's need with Victor's story, whether it be through the DVD, through the website, through the book, is key so that men can be healed. I thought of a lot of things this morning, and one of the things I thought about is, you know what, guys, we gather here on Saturday morning not just to do another thing, but to allow God to heal us as men. Us. All of us. Not just that guy or that guy that might be broken, but we're all broken to some extent. And this is an opportunity for us to get together, huddle up, and let God bring healing. So with that, if you prayed, connect with the QB. Final thought, dad in the mirror class. starts this Friday. What time, Bill? 6:30 in this building here, one of the classrooms. Come join Bill. We're going to start it up fresh this coming Friday, 6:30. Let me lead us in prayer before we break. Father, I just know that there's some brothers here, some men who maybe they didn't know you up until today. And incarnationally through Victor, they saw you in a unique way and you made contact. You birthed them into your family. For that we rejoice. Please, God, please, may they not be sprouted but lost. Make them connect with one of us before they leave. Lord, there's other men who've been saved quite a while, but perhaps in hearing what they did today, it would be like a turtle emerging out of its shell, realizing, hey, my story, the hurts, the disappointment, even the abuses, the failures, all of that can be redeemed by God and used by Him to let other people know that if that's their story, God loves them too, and God can use them in powerful ways, God. And so, Lord, for those men, may they continue to emerge out of that shell and become in fullness the man of God that you've redeemed them to be, God. We're praying that for all of us here, one another, as we gather here under your banner, under your name, the name above all names, the name of the greatest man to ever live, our greatest strong tower, the ultimate strong man, and that is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, guys, you know what? I love the theme of no longer being wimps. When we say amen, I want us to act tribal. I want us to act like a clan. I want us to get a little bit crazy. And at the count of three, I want us all to just shout out, testosterone filled, with an amen. One, two, three.
Amen!
Woo! God bless you.